This is Will's Band of the Week for March 7th, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am, back again.
And you're debuting a new microphone today. And we're deciding, in pre-production, we couldn't decide which mic was better, your previous mic or the new one.
Yes, and I can't tell. I don't have such a sophisticated setup that I can hear myself, so I'm relying only on Will. And now the listeners will also be judging too.
Right, so this one's a little more close-up sounding and less ambient, so I think it might be a little clearer. So we'll get out, maybe thousands of listeners will vote on which mic is better and let us know.
Yeah, my mistakes will be even clearer.
That's true, that is one issue. But all right, well, here we are. Craig, thank you again for coming back. This is great.
Third time in 5 weeks. That's... But you never know. I might not come again for a month. So it's good to, yeah, when there's music, I come along.
We try to keep it unpredictable. You just never know from week to week who you're going to hear. But it's always quality, top-notch quality talent.
That happens to me when I listen to the podcast. I don't, well, sometimes I'm privy to the pre-production, but if I haven't been, I press play and then I'm always surprised when Will announces who's going to be there. Oh, okay, that's good news.
Right? Yeah. Nothing but good news. Well, I thought maybe it seems like the appropriate time to do one of these.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report. My Corona.
I figured we'd be doing this this update, and we might as well play the jingle right now to make sure that it gets appropriately credited. The news has been getting better with the coronavirus, right? So I think when better news is coming, that warrants a discussion.
Yeah, some good, some bad. Should we begin with Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I guess you're right. There's always some bad to go along with the good, right?
One of my friends who lives in Denver, he, you know, back in October, November 2020, he was saying this is like 1944 or something in the Second World War. Now you don't, you know, you behave extra careful now. Although they didn't know the war was going to end, I guess in that case, and we don't know this is going to end. But his point was just be careful now because we're nearly through this. There's no point being silly and making a mistake now. But the governor of Texas doesn't agree. He's gone, no masks, everything's open. So,
yeah. Well, that's just not how conservatives in Texas think, you know. the way they think is that all government restrictions are bad, essentially. So your first opportunity to get the government out of your life, you take advantage of that. So, yeah, and I was reading that after they did that, a lot of the stores are saying, well, we're still going to require masks because it's dumb, you know? So I don't know. The other possible bad news is that, the variant that, is spreading here really pretty badly. Some of the science nerds are concerned that it's going to, make it really hard to get rid of it because it spreads at a greater rate than the original coronavirus and might even be more deadly. So I guess it just depends how fast people can get vaccinated. So, but the general news has been good, been trending in a good direction.
Things in the United Kingdom are better than when I was here 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, 4 weeks ago. 40% of adults have had their first dose as a vaccine. Now, of course, you need two, but the experiments are showing actually one dose is good up to 12 weeks. It's very effective. You shouldn't really. Some people will still sadly get quite ill, but the vast majority will not now. So just with one dose, that's good. Yeah. I expect I would have mine, I don't know, in the next 10 weeks, 12 weeks, certainly within two and a half months, 3 months, I'd expect to have my first dose now. So they're gradually getting down, working their way down the ages. So it's good.
Yeah. And they just got another one approved, a single dose one approved here. So that's going to ramp up the total number that are available. So, yep. We'll see how it goes. But the reason that I even, you know, brought this up is because you told us in pre-production you've been buying some tickets for shows. Now, that shows some optimism.
Yeah, I just got to the point where I couldn't take it any longer. I'd like to think that I'm supporting the bands and the venues. I mean, these places have been shut for a year. So you think they must need some cash flow. But actually, I think it's just the promoter who would get the money. But even so, I suppose the promoters do put on the events. And so they're going to need some money too. So maybe it helps the industry a little bit to just buy a couple of tickets.
Sure. Can't hurt.
So one of the bands we're going to talk about today, I bought something. I won't reveal that just yet, but this is all for the autumn, really. And then we discussed Bedroom on the podcast, didn't we? BDRMM.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
And I got a ticket to see them for the autumn as well, and British Sea Power, a couple of concerts. So, yeah, looking forward to the autumn. Hopefully these things will be... Well, I figure you either get a refund or it's rescheduled and you keep your ticket. So either way, it shouldn't be a problem. So
what will be the count for the British Sea Power shows for these next couple?
Would you mean how many times? No, I don't reveal that.
I know it's a large number.
David was a little bit concerned for me, I think, in the pre-production notes there. But,
It's pretty cool, though. That they're gonna start right up again once they can. I have to imagine there have been a lot of bands that have gotten discouraged and maybe are just kind of forgetting about touring until they know for sure that they can. But there's some other bands that are, you know, ready to roll as soon as they can. So
as soon as it's safe for everyone, of course. And I think one of the good things about the kind of music that we like. Good and bad, but in this case good, is the bands, this isn't their only livelihood.
Yeah.
And so the fact they couldn't play shows for a year, they probably had other employment too. Whereas if you're a professional musician, okay, you have your royalties and stuff. So I don't think Bono and U2 have been really struggling.
No.
So both ends of the scale, the bands have been probably had some income. So hopefully that's okay.
Right, right. You sure hope so. Well, let's hope it happens. And things are trending much better. So that's cool. Well, I guess that's our music news and coronavirus update. Well, we have a lot of music to talk about. Should we go to it?
Yeah, because I think we have two of the longest single releases ever discussed on the same episode. So we've got a lot of music here.
Right, right. Okay, well, our consensus was we would start with Lost Horizons, which this is an album that was put out in two halves. There are 16 tracks, and they put out the first eight a couple of months ago, maybe in November, and then just recently released the other eight. And I think I made a conscious decision at the time. I'm just going to wait for the whole thing. But they, I was reading about it, they decided that it was kind of a lot, and it might be better to space it out. Because the whole thing is an hour and 13 minutes. But the story behind this is, you know, it should be right up my alley. Like, immediately I should have, like, been listening to this and loving it from the start. But I guess I showed some restraint. But this is Simon Raymond from the legendary Cocteau Twins. And also a guy named Richie Thomas, who was in another band on 4AD Records back in the 80s called Diff Jews. And I remember the name of the band. But I think they were instrumental and kind of laid back. And I didn't listen to them very much. But, of course, that 4AD label back in the 80s was really one of my favorites. And so now Simon Raymond is running a label in Brighton called Bella Union. And I kind of had lost track, but they've got a lot of good artists on that label. And so he's been focusing more on doing the record label thing than doing music himself. But so they got around to doing this thing, and it's 16 tracks with different singers on every track. They made a bunch of instrumentals and then got singers from all over the place, and it's really pretty cool, the eclectic group that they came up with. And the whole thing just I was saying this should be right up my alley because it was my favorite kind of stuff back in the 80s. And it took me a while to warm up to it, and now I'm just totally, I got into it. It really wore well on me as I listened to it a few times. So now I'm fully on board. So the album is called In Quiet Moments, and okay, I'm going to start with the track that I don't know, I guess just for fun, that the singer sounds the most like Liz Fraser from the Cocteau Twins. I think it's like, she's obviously like, she's got to be a fan because, so this is track 6 called Every Beat That Passed. And the singer is known, her performing name is Kavi Kwai, but her actual name is Julia Ringdahl, and she's from Sweden. And I hadn't heard of her before, but she's a musician and producer. So here we go. Every Beat That Passed.
Pressing in the bathroom floor, our laziness, our weaknesses, the bridges we burn, we'll pass it all over to you. Can we feel our blood running? It reminds us of life and how fragile it is when inside us calm. This will come our way. The progress we made, the hope that we build, is also what will pass to you. Can we hear our heart pounding? It reminds us of will and the impact we make. Every beat that we pass, be it for future dream call.
That's the most Cocteau Twins sounding thing you're going to find in this decade, I think. But
yeah, I picked out that one, not as one of my picks necessarily, but I thought, okay, this is the one that sounds most like the Cocteau Twins. So it's good to play that, I think, as one of the picks, just to almost to show that the rest of it isn't really like that in a way.
Right, right. So, well, I kind of said almost everything I have to say about this other than playing more tracks, so I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, I hope I can say something interesting to do it justice. I think it's a concept which isn't automatically bound to work. And I guess when you mentioned it to me and said, give it a listen, see if you want to talk about it, I thought, well, this is not going to be good, is it? Because it doesn't work if you have a different vocalist on every track. But completely the opposite, actually. It's really good. I think it's the kind of thing you could put on throughout the year and listen to again and again, because the benefit of it is really long. So there's lots of stuff, and nothing sounds like it's all completely different.
Yeah.
So you can't get bored. I mean, I think we both like 28-minute albums where every song sounds the same, but sometimes you don't want that. And you know, so this is for those times.
Yeah, yeah. And some of it is more kind of outwardly moody, and then some of the songs are more sort of just like, I don't know, I was telling my son that it sounded like late night driving music or something like that. So, yeah.
Well, I kind of, this isn't a good thing, but I would think it's like a Sunday morning radio show in a way, because some of it, you know, as I said, none of this sounds good, and it sounds like I don't like it, but actually I do. But it would be like kind of the mainstream Sunday morning radio show music, a slightly alternative edge, I guess, because it's just like that kind of very easy to listen to, like you said, late night driving music, a similar sort of thing.
I think you guys must have cooler Sunday morning radio show music than we do.
Maybe just the eclecticness of it, because, you know, when you listen to radio or something, you're going to hear stuff which you wouldn't choose to listen to because the DJ's choosing and not you.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I mean, in a way. It's more eclectic than what I would necessarily put on for myself. So
what's the honored first pick that you have?
Well, see, this, I mean, to me, this doesn't sound like the thing I would normally pick. It's kind of, that's what I was getting at. I really like this. Track two, I Woke Up With An Open Heart, and I should mention that it's The Hempalicks. I didn't do my journalism to find out who that is, so... But anyway, we can listen.
Good example of a sort of different style, but it totally works.
Yeah, is it fair to say? I mean, I just think it sounds a bit like a James Bond theme, which is something that I like. And Shirley Bassey, I guess, a little bit. Although she did a James Bond, I suppose. So, yeah, just powerful vocal, interesting, different instruments to the kind of thing I would normally listen to.
Yeah. Well, I could just keep playing tracks. I think I have to play at least two more.
Okay, well, I'll maybe, so you do one, I'll do one. Okay, that would work.
Okay, I'll do one, and you can have one, and I'll decide if I need to play yet another one. So we're just going to keep playing this.
Different stuff.
Yeah.
So we should mention, well, I don't know what you're going to pick, but we should mention this John Grant, an indie rock, not so much veteran, but obviously he's very popular. He plays in arenas and stuff, so he's a huge star. There's Porridge Radio on here, who are from Brighton, so that makes sense if it's where the record label's based, so.
Well, with a track featuring Porridge Radio, I guess we have to play it. Being one of my recent favorites. And, yep, let's do it. Number five, One for Regret.
Don't ask you
sort of rolls along with increasing tension as it goes.
Right.
You sort of feel a little bit nervous listening to it.
Right, yeah, that's right. That's the Porridge Radio style. But it's interesting because I think the method they used is on this is that they had the entire instrumental tracks finished and then they shipped them out to singers, said, come up with something for this. And it's kind of amazing how it all fits. It feels like it could be, it feels like cohesive in a way that they could. I always wonder, could they tour and just get one singer or maybe two singers that kind of fit the best middle range of all this and play the songs live? I think it could be really cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. I was wondering about that.
So, yep. All right, let's turn it back to you. Let's play another one.
Well, I mean, there's so much, but I love the symmetry at the end here. There's two tracks that are both 437 and there's one just before 435. But you mentioned that you particularly like one of them, so I was deliberately not going to steal that in case you wanted it. So track 15, penultimate, Heart of a Hummingbird, Kooky Lou is the singer.
Are we on the same page?
Another good one.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. It's the Peter Hook bass line.
Peter Hook bass, yep. Totally. It's
those playing along at home with the Wills Band bingo. They can cross that off.
Right. I did some quick music journalism. Kooky Lou is the moniker for a woman named Lily Walter from Brighton. So another hometown Brighton talent.
Yeah, I mean, if you really wanted some homework, you could go away and listen to each of these 16 artists. But those, you know, or John Grant, I guess we're familiar with in Porridge Radio, but some of the other ones, completely new. Marissa Nadler, and I recognize her name, but some of the others are completely new.
Yep. Yeah. It's fun. I've explored probably like half of these and really interesting stuff. So, all right. You saved the last track for me. I told you that I thought the last track was great. So it's in our kind of our joke of a piano ballad for the last track, but but it you know, it's just, it's so good. And it's I think it's a beautiful song, and it's also it has the sound of some of that 80s 4AD stuff that I loved back then. So the singer on this one is Karen Pierce, who is from the band The Innocence Mission, indie rock veterans from Pennsylvania. And the song is called "This Is the Weather." Go.
Yes, very powerful, very emotive. Funny how some songs can do that. It's very simple.
Right. Yeah, it is. Well, that's Lost Horizons. The album is called In Quiet Moments, and I'm definitely recommending it. Hopefully the listeners like it.
Yep, strong recommendation from me as well. There's so much to dig into there. And, one for either driving or Sunday mornings, we've established.
Right. Nicholas would come up with some more creative contexts in which to listen to it. Yeah. All right, cool. Time for the next one. I think you should introduce the next band. I think you've talked about them before, just at least in passing, but I don't know if we've ever featured one of their albums on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe a live report or two, possibly at some stage. This is a band from Glasgow called Mogwai. This is their 25th anniversary now, or so they were saying, but they... Rate Your Music, which is my go-to source, says they were formed in 1995. So either way, they've been veteran status by now. I hope this isn't the equivalent of Bob Dylan going electric, because this is a number one UK album. So the podcasting equivalent, we hope listeners don't consider us selling out now as we go mainstream with this. But I guess this is just a quirk of the only people who really buy records, particularly in the current situation, are... the fans of a band who are just sitting at home with a bit of spare money. There's not really much to do. So anyway, it's nice to see some of our indie favorites getting up the charts there.
Haven't they adjusted the charts now so that they account for downloads also and not just like LP sales and, you know, physical?
So, yeah. But then you wouldn't think that would favor Mogwai necessarily, because I'd imagine a lot of their fans will be middle-aged men with beards who like vinyl. Not to say that women shouldn't like them. I don't mean any harm by that, but I think that's just a fair observation, I think.
Yeah, when I saw that, that it was number one on the UK charts, I just couldn't believe it. But there are a lot of things that, you know, we consider like kind of cool and a little edgy even over here that get really popular there. But I think I also saw something that's, it's at least somewhere on the charts here also. I mean, not at the top, but it's some... It's made some headway, so it's interesting to me and pretty cool that something like this gets popular.
Yeah, the strange thing is, we could talk about them for a long time because they're a very interesting band, but, you know, it's the kind of musical style you wouldn't think, I don't know, something like Always you could see isn't that far away from Taylor Swift, in my opinion, but Mogwai is quite a long way from that. It's not easy listening. The classic style is quiet, loud sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to pigeonhole them. But but yeah. that's really what they're known for.
Mm-hmm.
But they play in huge venues in Europe. I don't know if they come to America that often, but they're a popular band here. So it's good how they've made that transition from being sort of a niche taste in the 90s to pretty popular now. I was trying to work out, they do a lot of soundtracks and stuff, but this is something like their 17th album, if you include the soundtracks. I think it's their 10th if you just want to do a proper studio. But since 2010, they've been prolific. It's a 10th release in 11 years, including soundtracks. So it's quite amazing.
Yeah, they've never stopped. Yeah.
No, they've been ramped it up since 2010. So if you want to call this their 17th album or their 10th one, it's As the Love Continues, UK number one album. No, I guess we'll have a track and then we can chat some more about them. They're mainly instrumental, and that is quite a loud thing. As I said, quite long songs usually, but actually this the thing I'm going to pick isn't that at all. So that's just typical of me in a way, to not find something which is symptomatic or representative. Mm-hmm. Track 4, Richie Sacramento.
Richie Sacramento. That was apparently named after a friend's mispronunciation of the name Ryuichi Sakamoto.
That's quite
funny.
You did some good journalism.
Yep. yeah, so interesting, isn't it? A band that's almost entirely instrumental, and that song just sounds like a normal... Like if you just heard that, you wouldn't think, oh, this is an instrumental band. That's I guess that's obvious, but I guess what I'm saying is like it kind of fits just fine. Do they have a regular guy who's like the singer for the one out of eight songs or whatever that have vocals?
I consulted my in-house Mogwai expert on this. We should have got her on really, because Amanda introduced me to Mogwai and she knew them. I think she 1998. She said it was the first time she saw them.
Wow.
They were pretty loud in those days. They're still loud now. Apparently, it's Stuart, the main guy, I guess. When you don't have a singer, you don't have a front person, do you? Which is a bit weird. But
right, yeah.
Yeah, Stuart Braithwaite does the singing, apparently. And she says, oh, the best song on their album is always the one where he does some singing, which is weird because he doesn't do it very often. He's got a reasonable voice, really.
Right, yeah. I think so. All right. Well, I'll pick a track that maybe this is also not representative because it's probably the loudest track. So I'm going to go with number 7, Ceiling Granny. Call that a rockin' jam, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I would. I like that a lot as well. Yeah,
the band is Mogwai. The album is called As the Love Continues, and yeah, some rockin' stuff there.
So when it's an hour and 1 minute, which I mean, yeah, if you're being a little bit strict, you could say it should be a little bit shorter, really. When I started listening to it first time, I thought, well, it just sounds like they always sound like, but then. Doesn't really matter if it's good. I was consulting Rate Your Music, which is my go-to website, just to find out about bands' history. And it's a metal website, really. If you look at the top releases of any year, there's some stuff in there which is absolutely appalling, but like just heavy metal. Mm-hmm. But the people was, I don't know what people expect. You know, they're saying, oh, it's just not good. They're not a good band anymore. And I thought, oh God, you know, Will's expecting me to talk about this, and actually the people don't like it, but. Well, someone must do, because it's number one, and I think it's pretty good. So maybe people have these very high standards for bands they used to like, and sometimes your expectations are a little bit unreasonable, maybe.
Yeah. I guess I could see how this would... Maybe that's part of the appeal, is that you could see metal fans liking this just for the pure power of it, you know? And then more indie rockers liking it because of the kind of moody aspect of it. You know, if you put a singer on here that was a scream singer, then they would just convert them into a metal band immediately, right?
Yeah.
Or you could put a earthy female vocalist with a lot of reverb on it, and then it would sound totally different. So if you're mostly instrumental, I guess it leaves the rest to the imagination.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I just see, having seen them a few times, three or four times playing live, I just think these songs are going to slot so well in amongst the other stuff that I think, I imagine these would be good songs to see live. So that's kind of the perspective I'm coming from when I, if it's a band I already like and the album comes out, I'm thinking about next time I see them. It's always what's on my mind.
So is this one that you have tickets for? That's the big question.
No, I'd like to, but they were supposed to play last year, but the shows were cancelled. I think rather than postponed because of the, well, we don't need to go into why. And I haven't re-announced them yet, but presumably they will.
They seem like if there was a perfect band for that big venue in Glasgow called the Hydro, I could just see them playing there. I've seen them. Have you ever been to that place?
I think I saw the Manic Street Preachers there, if that's the one, with kind of inflatable sides.
Yeah, it's like this big, it's a, it, it looks fascinating. I've seen photos, and it's you know, it's sort of like arena rock, but it's built for music. So it's not like there's a, you know, basketball floor at the bottom. It's all built for music. So yeah, someday maybe I'll get there.
Pretty cool place. They were due to play there on the same tour as the cancelled one. Morgan, we're going to play there, but that didn't happen because of the pandemic. So
yeah, I would be surprised if they did not get rebooked for that place.
Yeah.
So another track?
Yes, I think there's only one track that I wouldn't pick. I guess if I was going to make the album a bit shorter, probably track three you could cut. But I don't know, everything else is kind of... There's some on there which have their quite loud thing, but I think a really standout one is track eight, Midnight Flit.
You can just feel that track building, and then I faded it out before we let it build more, but it's not
well,
quite...
We have to add the caveat, the Black Country New Road caveat, as we'll call it from now on, where the songs are 6 minutes, and it's difficult to do them justice, play a little sample, but you get the idea, the strings come in, and it builds and builds.
Yep. Well, there we go. Mogwai gets its debut on the podcast. We were waiting for them to hit number one on the charts, so finally.
You've got to earn your place.
Right. All right, I'll call us two for two now, declare that, and then I think we've got a bonus band this week too, don't we?
Yeah, I think it feels right to put this one in. Yeah, why not?
TV Priest from, they're from the UK, right? Are they from London?
Indie Rock Stardom, yep. Whether they began there or found their way there for Indie Rock Stardom, they're now in London, yes.
And I have to say that... I was intrigued by this, basically because of how much they sound like another band. We should play a track before we divulge that band so the listeners can play along at home, right?
The pressure's going to be on you, Will, to pick one which sounds... There's a couple which sound especially like it, I think.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Should we play a track and then just take it from there?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. The band is TV Priest. The album is Uppers. I can pick one or you can pick one, either way.
Oh, okay. Let me go then. Track 7, Slideshow.
Filling up a hard drive. Cause you're bouncing out on a spinning plate. The screen is my half brother. Just another, just another. When the desert is ground, cute dust always still. I can't be one, Pablo said. And he's never, ever, ever, ever wrong.
TV Priest.
I chose that one because it has a kind of a catchy chorus in there a little bit, and the guitar was interesting, and I think that kind of, it's just enough here. There's the, well, do we want to say who they sound a bit like?
Sure, yeah.
So on these kind of bands, I have Protomartyr at one end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good end, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And at the other end, the most objectionable, awful end, I guess Idols or something like that. And there's a spectrum. I think TV Priest, they're kind of edging towards Idols, but I think it's just enough to make them interesting. As I said, a couple of elements in that song, you know, the chorus and the guitar sounds pretty cool. So,
yeah, I was going to say, Protomartyr is clearly a band that they have listened to, and there's just no way that they haven't. And because Protomartyr is, you know, one of my absolute favorite bands, I kind of feel like I should really like this more, and I do like it, but then when it's stacked up against Protomartyr, it's just not quite of that level. But it has some great attack guitar sounds, and sometimes the guy, I don't know, sometimes he's just in attack mode, kind of like maybe that's what the Idols guy does too, right? And then sometimes there's a little more singy as opposed to the talky type stuff. A lot of interesting stuff throughout it.
There is. I think they just want to make sure. They're going to listen to who gives a shit what I say, but they want to make sure they keep that nuance and keep trying to be interesting rather than going for the balls to the wall stuff. Like the Idols are just so brash and they're just like clown music, really. But maybe they want to play in arenas like Idols. So if you want to be successful, that kind of thing works. But you know,
yeah.
The nerds like us, we like a bit of subtlety.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. okay. Yeah, I have a couple more I could easily pick. Why don't we play number 6, Decoration?
Next round, and I'm through.
TV Priest.
Yeah, that was on my shortlist of picks as well. Another good one. Interesting guitar again and interesting vocal delivery. So there are some elements there, as I was saying, which make it interesting to listen to.
Yep, definitely. Well, let's play one more.
Why not? 11, I think. Track 11, This Island.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yep. I think we've given a good sampling there.
I think so. One thing I noticed listening to this, and I wonder if it's because it's kind of an album that kind of attacks you from the start, but it felt like as the album went on, it got more listenable and I guess you were saying nuance, a little more nuance as it went on, which made me like it more. And then I wasn't sure, is that just because I was kind of adjusting to it as it went, but I think the flow of the album is pretty good. It hits really hard at the beginning, and then it kind of, and that, not that that song didn't hit hard, but it had a, synthesizer in there and if Joe Casey listened to that, he's like, this guy's imitating me. That's what he's going to say.
But he's a pretty cool guy, isn't he, Joe Casey? I think he's unflappable, really. He'd probably...
Yeah, he'd just say it's cool.
He'd probably see them as a good band of young lads from London, and he'd wish them all the best. I like to think that anyway.
Right. Yep. The singer's name is Charlie Drinkwater, so it's kind of a cool name. And they're on Sub Pop Records, which means it's pretty legit. So.
Yeah, very rare for a British band to be on the label, actually. I think there's only been two or three. Male Bonding was one. I don't know, maybe one other?
Yeah, that's trivia I'm not going to know. Interesting. All right.
Yeah, because Sub Pop can pick who they want. So, it's an endorsement there.
I would say. Another band, it would be, there's no doubt it'd be fun to see those guys live. I mean,
yes, that's one of the ones I bought a ticket for.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, that's great. All right. That's pretty solid music contribution for this week, I think.
Yep. Lots to dig into there.
So, we've got more correspondence tentatively lined up for the next couple of weeks, so we'll see how that goes. It's always a serious negotiation behind the scenes, and we try to work it out, try to keep it rocking. So, all right, thanks again, Craig. Hope to have you on again soon. Keep coming on often as the releases continue.
Veteran releases coming up.
Yep, they're rolling out. So
one of my favorites from Amherst, Massachusetts, has a new album coming. So I'll try to come back for that.
Oh, it's a good teaser.
There aren't many bands from around there.
All right. We'll sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.